Bickley and Murata. Social Studies.
Social Studies time, coming off the weekend. Lots of ground to cover, and here to help us do it, as always, Sarah Cazell. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good. How was the week?
Hello.
Oh, it was nice. Very relaxing. How about yours? Good weekends?
Pretty.
Okay, weekends?
Pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Fine weekends?
It's
yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair to middling?
Yeah.
We'll take it.
That's a good way to describe it.
We'll take it. Something you guys were talking about earlier that I just want to address before we get into social studies, Trevor Lawrence and the outpouring of gifts and donations from Jaguars fans as he and his now wife got married over the weekend. I just want to say to our Arizona sports listeners,
here we go.
You know, I'm not registered yet, but I will be, and I don't have a deal like Trevor Lawrence coming down anytime soon. So if anybody wants to buy gifts off of our registry, that would be fine.
Keep us updated.
I'll let you know.
They have the same haircut.
Crockpot, Sarah?
Do I have a crock pot? I believe we have a crock pot. We also have an instant pot.
Well, I sent
and any other kind of pot you're looking for.
I sent Trevor and Marissa a ninja foodie. Oh,
yes. Good. They'll appreciate that. Ninja foodie. Can't live without it.
I think I have some wedding gifts that I still haven't used yet.
Really?
From 5 years ago.
Do you know off the top of your head like
digital,
what that might be?
One of them was a hair clipper.
A digital picture frame.
Okay.
That seems like such a cool idea until it just sits in a box.
And you're like, I have to load this thing up?
And I have a
homework?
I have a gift card for a cooking class. You know, one of those like...
Oh, fun.
I know, fun. Yeah, I just couldn't have... Believe it or not, I couldn't get my wife to go with me.
Huh.
I'm the big cook. She's not so into it.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll get that digital
picture. So stay tuned for either of those as a re-gift.
Yeah, thank you. I can't wait. All right, welcome on into Social Studies, everybody. It is the Monday edition. We do this every day at 1 o'clock. And, I mean, you've probably heard me say it at this point by now, but follow us on Twitter at Bickley_Murata. That's where all the questions go, and that's where I pull all the answers from. So let's start with a game you guys have already covered on the show, the Suns' loss to the San Antonio Spurs on Saturday. A 26-point loss. I haven't seen a whole lot of those for the Suns lately.
Nope.
But they lost 111-85. So we were just asking, open-ended, what was your biggest takeaway in that loss?
I've already said it, that a lot of people were using the adjective great to describe this basketball team last week, and Saturday is proof that they are not great just yet. They're very good. Mm-hmm. They're capable of greatness, but they are not a great team in this stage of their evolution.
I shared mine, too, but one I haven't shared yet, and it was the biggest takeaway. The San Antonio Spurs do silver and black or gray and black uniforms well, whereas the Sacramento Kings do not.
That is a good
observation. That's all I care about.
Right, that's right.
No, the biggest takeaway was just, I guess, bleeding over into concern, was just another bad performance by the starting five for the most part. Nobody played well.
Yeah. Was it Javon Carter the leading scorer?
He was.
17?
Yeah. It was just a frustrating night overall. Yep.
Yeah. Well, tons of responses from our listeners. When you ask them about the Suns and what went wrong or what went right, we will always get a wide array of replies. So I'm just going to read probably five or six. Matthew Warwick says what his biggest takeaway was the hype for this Suns team is warranted, but that also applies to the criticism. Their criticism is warranted as well. Consistent play seems to be a problem.
Yeah, good one.
Steven Nickmeyer, his biggest takeaway. Honestly, it was just a nice reminder. I can't ever trust and must always hate the Spurs.
Yes.
It's true. That's a very good one.
Never let your guard down, Phoenix.
Never.
Ever. Never forget. This time it's personal.
We've got a funny David Rose gif from Zachary Travis that says, I am on day two of a panic attack. He says, I'm kidding, but it was a really bad game.
It was awful.
Yeah. Heath Barr, it was a bad night, sure, but why do the Suns keep having bad nights against far more inferior teams? Something we've talked about before. How many of their losses come from either blowing 15-plus point leads or simply losing to sub-500 teams? And then the last response I'll read from Wild Card Man. The Suns were looking ahead to the toughest stretch of the season, this road trip that they're starting tonight, and they got punked. Hope their heads are on straight this week. So there you go.
10 of their 16 losses have come against sub-500 teams, or 500 or below teams.
Oh, brutal. All right, moving on to our second question, something I believe you guys mentioned on the show earlier, but for those who didn't hear it, Alabama football. So it's now spring football season again. A bunch of spring football live tweeting on my Twitter timeline on Saturday.
Yep.
Alabama football had its spring game on Saturday with about 47,200 people in attendance, which is still only 50% capacity. That was Bryant-Denny Stadium at 50% capacity. Still the biggest crowd at an American sporting event since the start of this whole pandemic. So we are asking, open-ended.
I always think it's Bryant-Denny Stadium, which I know it's not.
Nope.
Different person, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for chiming in. That was really helpful. So the question...
That came after he took a selfie for God knows what reason. What were you taking a selfie
for?
I'm trying
to get sales to get me a free haircut.
Are you serious? Is that
you saved haircut money for 3 years? You can't shell out $8 to get that mop cut?
No, like a synergy.
It's happening this weekend.
Synergy, cross promotion.
Cross promotion.
Do you think a brand wants to be attached to that?
Okay, when Jared approaches the intersection of commitment and production on this show versus choosing a moment to further glorify his wacky self on social media, which way do you think he turns? Which road does he choose at all times?
That is not true. I think you should.
I just saw you. You turned, you put the phone right next to your face like Vinny Loves, and you made a goofy face, and you clicked.
How do you know I wasn't checking? Researching something.
No,
for the show.
It was the face you made.
Yes, because either you were taking a photo of yourself or of me, and I definitely won't be happy with the latter.
Yeah, so, Sarah, I would bet everything I own he was not taking a picture of you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I'm
that
with
was
you.
That with camera lenses focused right back at him.
I can only shake my head.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you tweet out that picture you just took?
Do it.
Okay.
Do it.
All right. Okay. No. Look, everybody look at my hair. Hey. I'm so hairy.
How hairy are you?
This hairy.
This hairy.
That is just further proof that the April 25th haircut is not
coming. Absolutely.
No, it's not. You're not going to believe it.
It's not. Unless I bring my own scissors. Maybe though.
I would love that. You ever cut anyone's hair?
Yes, but it didn't look good.
Oh, never mind then. All right.
Not that this looks good, but
sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're not. Okay.
Let's get back on with Carlin studies. I mean, social study.
So Alabama, that whole deal, 47,000 plus people in attendance for their spring game. We are asking, open-ended, what one sports team means the most to the city they play in? You could expand it to state if you wanted.
Yeah. The first first one that popped into my head was Green Bay and the Packers.
Yep.
And they got to be the top of the list. I mean, there's a lot of great examples.
I'm going Tuscaloosa and Alabama's football team. Said that earlier.
Okay.
But Green Bay, that's a really good one.
It might be basketball, Arizona basketball in Tucson. God knows those people have nothing else.
Arizona basketball did show up, but without a doubt, the most popular response was Green Bay, the Packers in Green Bay. The Pittsburgh Steelers got a couple nods. The Vegas Golden Knights got a mention. I mean, that was their first pro team, right? Or did the Aces get there before them? I can't remember.
The Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills.
The Bills definitely show up as well.
The Spurs to San Antonio.
Yep, without a doubt. Somebody said the Eagles to Philly, which even though they do have other things going on, that is still something they live, breathe, eat, puke,
the Jazz in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, Jazz to Salt Lake City. That's a good one.
But it doesn't have to be those smaller towns. I saw somebody say the Yankees in New York.
Yep.
That's pretty good. Pretty good answer, too.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And then also Nebraska football. The Huskers.
Yes.
That's pretty key as well.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. And then move in on to our final question. Last week, I think it was on Friday, we heard Matt Hergis, the D-backs pitching coach, telling reporters that he's trying to amp up Madison Bumgarner by reminding him who he is, telling him he is Zoolander. He is that dude, right? Yeah. Trying to get him to feel himself again. So we're asking, what is the best Ben Stiller movie of these four options? But there are many options to choose from, so fill in the blank if need be. best Ben Stiller movie? Is it Zoolander? Is it Meet the Parents, Dodgeball, or There's Something About Mary?
My pick, of those four choices, it's an easy pick for me. There's Something About Mary is just about a perfect movie, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Meet the Parents a lot, and Dodgeball is, you know, a guilty pleasure. I didn't see Zoolander. No love for Along Came Polly.
There is some love for it.
And a write-in vote. My second favorite Ben Stiller movie is Mystery Men. If you haven't seen it.
Oh, I don't know that one.
I don't know that one either.
Where they play everyday guys play superheroes in this in this made-up city.
Janine Garofalo is in it.
Tropic Thunder gets some write-in votes. Yep. So does Heavyweights.
Our audience loves Heavyweights.
Meet the Fockers. Yeah. But of those four, again, Zoolander, Meet the Parents, Dodgeball, and There's Something About Mary, pretty spread out, but 31% going with There's Something About Mary. 30% Dodgeball, 24% Meet the Parents, only 15% for Mad Bum and Zoolander.
Yeah. Not a good movie.
It's a really ridiculously good-looking movie.
There you go. There's Social Studies. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You, Sarah.
We do Social Studies every day at 1 o'clock. Follow us on Twitter at Bickley_Murata. Coming up next, we brought up the rumblings of the Super League formation over in Europe and how it could affect American sports. We'll get some questions answered by one of our very own coworkers who's got a lot of knowledge on the subject. Chad Benson from KTAR News, 92.3 FM, will join us next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata.
The formation or suggestion of the Super League over in Europe. Europe has got some people up in arms, and we've got questions. We got a guy on our staff that's full of answers. A man who played soccer overseas.
That's right. Spent time playing football over there. Liked it. It's fantastic.
From KTAR News 92.3 FM, part of the Gatos and Chad Show. The Chad part of it, Chad Benson.
That's right, the part that's here today, because once again, Gatos is not coming in today, taking a day off. So you got me, and I saw this yesterday. Look, since I was young, like, and over there, there's always been a hint of, man, we got all these big teams and these crappy little teams, and one of the big teams just play each other.
Mm-hmm.
And now that was suggested, and to the point where they actually went out and essentially already went to court and said, we're doing this, so here you guys go, and don't try to stop us. And it is going to be very interesting to see how this thing plays out, but it is, the money's huge. JP Morgan is already guaranteeing,
underwriting this whole thing,
3.5 billion euros for the first 15 teams that are going to be there. So,
which is like four times what they would get from Champions League.
Yeah, so the Premier League, you get $155 million just for being there, and if you win the Champions League, you get $150 million. Well, you're guaranteed that already. So for these teams, it is just an absolute windfall of cash.
This is also a sport known for hooliganism, for where a lot of anxiety, socioeconomic anxiety, is expressed through fan bases, and already you can tell the garden variety soccer fan is not happy about this.
No, they're not happy about this. They're angry because, you know, teams like Manchester United, one of the big six in England, you got Chelsea, you've got Manchester United, Man City, Arsenal, and Tottenham are the big six. These are basically the teams that are just heads and above financially everybody else. Man United, like a lot of these teams, was born out of, you know, poor working class, literally working class guys on the docks, and they put together a team called ourselves Manchester United, and they go out and play football on the weekends. And it was one of those things where these people are upset because they're seeing this thing becoming it's becoming beyond the haves and the have-nots. Even the haves aren't part of what the other haves has. Like, there's a difference between being rich and wealthy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's, hey, do we fly first class to go see Metallica, or do they play in my garden? That's the difference between being rich and wealthy. And Manchester United, Barcelona, and everybody else, they're beyond what everybody else is.
Yeah.
So in terms of, I know this threatens the Champions League. What would be the everyday effect just the Premier League?
So this is what the Premier League is saying, and tonight they're going to release a statement in a few hours about what they're saying. But essentially, what they're going to say is, if you guys go ahead and try to do this, you're going to be docked points, we're going to take away revenue, and we may relegate you.
Wow.
So, and that's the one thing we don't have here in our sports is a relegation. So bottom three teams go down to a lower bracket. So imagine a team going from like the Twins going down to AAA and a AAA team replacing them. That's relegation and promotion. And they're threatening these teams with that. Plus, they're also saying, for all you European players, if you do this, there's a good chance you will not play in the World Cup or any other sanctioned thing.
Now, let's talk about that, because the World Cup is bigger than the Olympics. It transcends the sport. Would they really enact that? Would they really mess with the World Cup?
I don't think they would.
Yeah.
I think it would be very, very tough. Plus, you're also dealing with what about the team? Because so many of the players that play in places like the Premier League. Now, two of the big leagues already said no. The French League only has one team, and that's Paris Saint-Germain. And Bayern Munich, the big German club, probably arguably the best club in the world right now, has already said no, and they've already come out and said no. Sorry. But it would be hard because, like, you watch a Liverpool play, you're like, okay, there's three English people out there, and everybody else is from all over the world. Well, it wouldn't be fair to tell the European players, you guys can't play, but the players from South America, the players from down under, the players from Africa and stuff, they can all play in the World Cup, but you can't. That would be a tough thing for them to do. But this is going to be a battle, and the battle's about money. And part of the reason is because a lot of teams are upset and that there's a lot of money in the Champions League, but it's not getting to where it needs to be, which is the big six, which is, you know, and Barcelona. And I try to tell everybody, Barcelona, Real Madrid, they have more money than people know. And they're all in debt. They're in debt $1 billion, $2 billion, $3 billion, $4 billion. What bank's going to close on them? None.
Yeah.
You know?
No doubt. Let me ask you this. Is there a bigger story here? You're a news guy. Is there a bigger story here at a time when on the PGA Tour, they were thinking about doing this? Couple Phil Mickelson meeting with those venture capitalists, thinking about breaking off college football. The Power Five conferences look like they've got some secessionists among them because they want more of what they think they deserve. Is this a bigger story about people, entities, sports teams, businesses constantly having to get theirs rather than to be part of something bigger than themselves?
It is. In Britain in particular, the money flows down. So you've got the Champions Division, which is underneath the Premier League, which, by the way, the Premier League was a break-off too, just like it was. I mean, it wasn't around. And then when I was playing over there, we had the First Division, Second Division, Third, Fourth, and then they had the Nationwide, which was non-league football. But everybody pretty much was a professional in there. And then what ended up happening is the Premier League came along because the money was so good. And then the money trickled down, and that's the way it was supposed to be. It's just right now, I think in a different time too. Take coronavirus. People are struggling. Teams over there, I mean, there are teams that were in the Premier League a few years ago that are close to going out of business. There are teams that have been in the Premier League over the last couple of years have gone out of business. Players are being made redundant. People are looking around, and these guys are grabbing as much as they can, and that's the way a lot of people look at it. On the other hand, there's some fans out there that are like, I'd like to watch my team play on a Wednesday night against Real Madrid and the next week against Barcelona. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Where this stands, and we're talking to Chad Benson, before we let you go, you mentioned refusal from PSG, Bayern Munich, to participate. Is that a bigger threat to this actually happening, or do you think the public outcry and reaction is a bigger threat to this happening? Or is this going to go?
It might go. I mean, it might. They're pushing hard. And remember, too, this isn't like most of these teams are owned by foreign investors, right? Like the Glazers own Manchester United. You've got Kroenke that owns Arsenal. You've got John Henry that owns the Red Sox and Liverpool. But the same thing, you've got the United Arab Emirates that owns Man City, and, you know, Abramovich owns Chelsea. You look around. So a lot of this stuff is one of those things where they're looking at it, it's just a business venture for them, as much as it's a feather in the cap. And soccer is extremely expensive. It's not like you buy the Dallas Cowboys for $3 billion or $4 billion, $5 billion. You know what the salary cap is and everything else. You buy a team over there for £1 billion, £2 billion. You haven't even started to put the team together. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to go out and buy $1 billion worth of players. So for that, at that level, they're all looking as how do we continue to try to make money?
It's
a different world. It's not like here where it's just kind of cut and dry. You buy a team, you grow with it. There's kind of a fixed cost. Not there.
I got it.
Yeah. Chad, good stuff, man. Dude. Thank you so much.
Good times. Fitbull's fantastic.
I was going to ask you to do a little bit more.
Let's do some Fitbull. Let's play some Fitbull here. Great.
Accent is perfect. Chad Benson, KTAR News, part of Gatos and Chad joining us here in studio.
And a scratch golfer, too, I found out.
Yeah.
Scratch-ish.
Like Rod Stewart said, some guys have all the luck. You know?
Fitbull.
Coming up next, we'll hand out some hardware. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford Poll Question on the homepage at arizonasports.com. How many games of the Suns' upcoming five-game road trip do you think they'll win? Your choice is 4 or 5, 2 or 3, 0 or 1.
2 to 3.
I'm projecting a 3-2 road trip for the Suns.
That would work for me.
So we'll both make that pick. 2 or 3, 49% say that is where they'll fall. 4 or 5, 46%. Only 5% say it's going to be 0 or 1 wins. But that is today's Sanderson Ford poll question. And you can vote on it right now on the homepage at arizonasports.com. I'll even narrow it down. I think the Suns lose to Philly and the Knicks.
Wow.
Whoa.
The Knicks are playing great basketball right now.
They are.
6 in a row.
That Philly
Somebody pointed it out. The Knicks have won 6 in a row and the Yankees have lost 5 in a row. That doesn't happen very often.
Imagine that.
Yeah. That Ayton and Embiid matchup is always interesting.
It is.
So that'll be.
Well, think how good the Knicks are going to be when they get Devin Booker.
And
Sorry,
Zion.
I just had to do that.
And Zion. Devin and Zion going there
right,
in 2 years.
That's right.
You hear Zion? He practically signed a contract with them yesterday.
Yeah.
All right, that's today's Sanderson Ford poll question on arizonasports.com.
Here we go. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The Arizona Sports signing bonus.
Yeah, it is time for the Arizona Sports signing bonus. And today, hold on, let me grab my stopwatch. I got to be official here.
Mm-hmm. Why are you doing that? You're the on-air host. You should not be running a stopwatch.
Well, you know, I got answers for you, but I'm not going to tell you.
I know you like getting involved in that.
We are looking for Philip Stancato from Phoenix. Philip Stancato, starting the clock right now, 602-260-9870. You've got 10 minutes to call that number, and if you do, Philip, $500 signing bonus. If you didn't hear your name, you can still win by texting bonus to 620-620 and listen for your name at 3:35 today. Burns and Gambo will call out another one and another chance for you to win $500. But once again, we are looking for Philip Stancato from Phoenix. You've got 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata. Handing out the hardware.
Hardware is our version of the award show. And it's brought to you by Revitalize. Make changes that will last a lifetime with Revitalize. Give them a call for your initial metabolic analysis today, 480-435-3557, or online at fatlossphoenix.com. Bick, start us off.
A great story over the weekend is going to earn the Crash Davis Award, Vinny, and I'm giving that to Sean Kazmar Jr., whose career came full circle on Saturday. 12-year, 206-day gap between appearances in Major League Baseball, the longest since Minnie Minosa in 1976. He was called up, he was given an at-bat, and you know what he did? He hit into a double play.
Right back down to the minors.
Right, no. He didn't.
it is amazing. He last played in 2008 for the Padres.
Yeah.
And I looked up the box score of that game. There's not one other active player from either team that played in that game. It's an amazing story.
Yeah.
He's from, he lives in Goodyear. I was reading an article about how hard his wife works to keep things together at home while he's still pursuing his major league dreams. Really, really cool story.
That's pretty cool.
Maybe a movie at some point. I don't know.
Yeah. Rhett Reese alert. Rhett Reese alert.
There you go.
Right.
My first award is the midseason form award, and I'm giving it to Alabama head coach Nick Saban. We talked about their spring game on Saturday. He was wearing a pink suit. He nearly got trampled by a player, and he said, it's a bad decision for any player to hit me for their own safety. It's like hitting a goalpost. That was funny. But on Friday in a media session, he's in mid-season form on challenging the media. Listen to this and tell me if you think there's anything wrong with the way this reporter asked this question.
You mentioned Bryce being the guy right now. How happy are you that
he said Bryce is going to play with the ones, all right? So that's the way it's going to be.
How happy are you that he's been able to kind of progress the way he has been, and do you find he's more confident now?
Well, how do you know that he's progressed the way he has been? What have you seen to be able to make that statement, first of all? I mean, I'm happy with his progress. I don't want you to think that, but I don't know where you sort of can just come out and make that statement. But I'm happy with his progress. I think he's played well this spring. I think he showed good leadership. He's made progress. I think he understands the offense. He's worked hard. You know, I can make the statement because I watch him practice every day, but I don't know how much practice you saw.
Ugh. Oh, is he insufferable?
It just seems exhausting to be that way.
Yeah. Especially to young journalists like that.
I don't know if he's got a problem with that particular reporter. I don't know, but it makes me want to think of, like, John McEnroe.
Yeah.
Answer the question! The question, jerk!
I'm with you on that. All right, the Hard Luck Award. I can't get that. Ugh. The Hard Luck Award Vinny, I'm giving to Jacob DeGrom, who not necessarily pitched into hard luck over the weekend, but he's pitched incredibly well and received very little for it in terms of victories and the like.
Mm-hmm.
He struck out 9 batters in a row.
Amazing. Had 14 strikeouts. They eked out a 1-run win. He finally got a win. It's amazing when you look at some of the stats that people have been able to uncover during his time and how he has not just lost his mind in frustration over playing with the Mets.
Yeah, because like you said it best earlier, nobody in baseball really cares about wins anymore except the starting pitcher. They still care.
Yeah.
And he's been about the least rewarded that you can remember in that category.
My next award is the Telling It Like It Is award. I'm giving it to Pete Davidson, Saturday Night Live cast member, who was brought in on this telecast and definitely had an agenda. The agenda was just dragging down Jake Paul and basically the sport of boxing, and it was pretty funny.
You can tell how professional this event is by them having me here. We are backstage at Jake Paul's dressing room, or locker room, if you want to call it that. And, today's a really wild day for boxing because it just shows, you know, how low it's truly sunk. I think today proves the fact that if you have enough followers, you can truly do whatever you want. I mean, maybe PewDiePie will cure cancer and Charlie D'Amelio will become a surgeon. Who knows? Tonight we have a bout between Ben Askren, who I don't know who that is still, and I've been reading up on him all week, and Jake Paul. And, they both suck, but, you know, at least somebody's going to get hurt. Now, back to you guys in the booth. Some real announcers over there.
There was also part of the telecast
really
where
good.
He's backstage speaking with Ben Askren, who's an actual fighter. And he made no bones about it. He said, my goal for being here is just to get the message across to kids at how bad a person Jake Paul is.
Wow.
Now, the language was a little bit more comfortable.
That's unbelievable.
Colorful, but yeah.
That is unbelievable. My last award, Vinny, is the One Man Throne Award, and I'm giving it to Miles Bridges, who, for my money, is now the best dunker in the association. Miles Bridges.
What he did again. He got a running start, basically, dribbling at the top of the key, and the seas parted, and he just damaged the rim.
It's been a long time since the NBA has had a unanimous choice as who is the most electrifying dunker in the game. I think it's unanimous right now.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. Good choice. There you go. There's hardware. We did get a winner, Philip Stancato from Phoenix. Nice job.
Philip!
With minutes to spare, he claims his $500 signing bonus. Again, you could still win by texting bonus to 620-620. Listen for your name. The next one will be called by Burns and Gambo at 3:35. Congratulations, Philip.
And, of course, industry standards, about a 20% tip for the hosts. That's a joke, Philip. Enjoy the money.
I think that's about right.
Tip on takeout. You're right.
Coming up, a key member of the Arizona Cardinals special teams back in the fold. That and more notes as we get out of here on a Monday. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly and Murata. Song of the day.
Today's song of the day, Them Bones by Alice in Chains, because it was on this day in 2002 that they found Lane Staley dead in his apartment.
2002?
Yeah. And no one had seen him.
I just grabbed my forehead. I can't believe it was that long
ago. Yeah. And what was even more sad is that his addiction to heroin had become so fierce and relentless that pretty much he wore out everybody in his life and nobody knew he was dead for 2 weeks.
Wow.
I'll never forget, when they came out, I was gigantic into grunge in the early 90s, and I was in Seattle, and I was sitting at the Central, one of the famous bars in Pioneer Square where all of the grunge movement basically started, okay? And I was sitting at the bar, and I'm talking to somebody, and I said, you know what, I would do anything to meet Lane Staley. And this girl looks at me, and she goes, well, you're in luck, because my friend happens to be his next-door neighbor. I'm like, what? So she gives me an address of her friend. So I get in my rental car. Now, this really is going to sound like stalker stuff, okay? But I really wasn't going to do anything. I just wanted to see his house. So I pulled up, and I go one house past the address of her friend. And sure enough, there's a house that in my mind's eye looks like it should be Lane Staley's house. Half of it was done in this really crazy purple color. The windows were boarded up. The front door was covered with stickers from people who have come, notices and everything.
Really?
Yeah. There was a motorcycle in the driveway, but the whole house was boarded up. And I'm like, I was sitting there going, what if he opens the door? Am I going to say anything?
I know what you would have said. Lane, let me smell your hair.
Yeah,
come on, Lane.
Come on. I've already smelled Eddie Vedder's.
Eddie Vedder, Every time we play one of these songs, Alice in Chains, lead singer, dead.
Yeah.
Stone Temple Pilots.
Weiland.
Soundgarden.
Yeah.
Nirvana, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. I never heard that story before.
Yeah.
19 years.
I also did something very, very cheeseball. There's a park next to Kurt Cobain's old house in Washington. So I had to make a pilgrimage to the house where he allegedly committed suicide.
Yeah.
And there's a park bench there in the park next to his house. So I thought I'd be all deep and philosophical. And I wrote, come as you are, on the park bench. How cheeseball is that, though, really?
Face public property.
I did.
You're a menace,
Pickley.
Goodness. I'd let you out of the house.
What a dork.
There you go. There's today's song of the day.
Pickley and Murata. Your daily dose of Vinny Joe trivia.
All right, we got the NFL draft. You're going to have a lot of draft trivia questions over the next week or so. Your question today, fellas, on Vinny Joe trivia. Since the year 2000, there has only been one school that has produced four quarterbacks drafted in the first round. Can you name the school? And for bonus points, which just means more admiration from me, can you name the quarterbacks?
What year? Since what year?
Since 2000. Only one school has produced four quarterbacks as first-round picks.
Oklahoma?
Good guess. They've had three.
Oh, darn.
USC.
USC is the correct answer. Now, for bonus points, can you name the quarterbacks?
Okay, Matt Leinart.
Yep.
Sam Darnold.
Yep.
Carson Palmer.
Yep.
Mark Sanchez.
Yep.
Wow.
Man, you guys destroyed.
No, Carlin did.
You chipped in too. You destroyed Vinny Joe trivia the way that Bickley destroyed that park bench.
What round was John David Booty drafted in?
Not the first.
I guess the second round?
So Oklahoma, Oregon, Florida State, and Cal have all produced three in that time span.
Wow.
How about California, who I guess during the Aaron Rodgers era, they were good, but not so good all the rest of the time to have three NFL quarterbacks.
Well, Bowler was before Rodgers and Jared Goff, number one overall. Ezekiel Elliott, or Elliott, Ezekiel Turner, back with the Arizona Cardinals. And people might say, oh, big deal. They lost Trent Sherfield in free agency to San Francisco. We talked about how that would affect the special teams. But now in the past few days, they've brought back Dennis Gardeck and Ezekiel Turner. Two really good special teams players. And Gardeck's doing a little bit more than that. I like that signing today by the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, okay. I agree. I think that he definitely gives them value on special teams.
Yes.
And they probably needed that, yes.
Holland Woods. Formerly, now officially formerly of ASU. He's the second Sun Devil to transfer to GCU, joining Tayshaun Cherry. There was a chance. Jalen House had GCU in his final two, but he's going to New Mexico. And I saw a stat over the weekend. Chris Cartman and Doug Haller put it out there. ASU will have 10 new scholarships. They picked up another transfer, DJ Horn from Northern Illinois. They're going to have 10 new scholarship players on their roster next year.
This is what college basketball is now. This transfer portal thing is really, really disorienting.
Well, the restriction got passed. I mean, they got loosened even more.
Here's my thing, though. This is what my concern is. Does anybody care about player development anymore? When you go from 1 year under one coach to a new coach to a new coach, it's like going to a new doctor every time. I think it's difficult to grow a player with a consistent turnover in voices. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do I know?
I mean, the way ASU's rebounded from a disappointing season, you knew you were going to lose two freshmen to the draft. You knew you were probably going to lose your senior guards who both went into the draft last year and then came back. I don't know if they expected the turnover elsewhere in the transfer portal. It's exciting, the team they put together, but I don't know what to expect because of that thing. I mean, it's 10 new players.
I know.
All at one time. That's crazy.
It really is.
And it's not that out of the ordinary. 10 is a big number, but there's so many schools dealing with it as well. James Akinjo, he's in the transfer portal from Arizona now after he transferred from Georgetown to Arizona.
That sucks. He was good, too.
He was pretty good. I was pretty impressed with him. We talked about Joe Musgrove becoming the first Padre ever to throw a no-hitter, and it was extra special because he's a San Diego kid.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see how he got rewarded? Free beer for life from Ballast Point Brewery in San Diego.
That's a quality brewery, too.
Yeah, here he is walking in and seeing some of the hall.
Congratulations, it truly was meant to be. Cheers to many more milestones and celebrating. Carding titles Joe Musgrove to complimentary beer to be enjoyed at any Ballast Point Brewery from this point forward. Holy cow. Free beer for life right there, huh? Damn.
Yeah.
I always wonder about that free whatever for life, the card you give. It seems like such a blessing, regardless of what it is. Don't you think it becomes like an administrative nightmare at some point? Like, free beer for life. But what if Joe Musgrove is like, this is cool, let's go. It brings in his friends like after every start. Right. And they're like, you know what? You got a little overboard here, Joe. It was one no-hitter.
Yeah, there's usually fine print in those promotions where it's like the free beer for life means once a week you can get a free beer or something. Or once a week you get a 12-pack or something like that. It's not like unlimited whatever you win anytime you want it.
So what does Carlos Rodon get now?
Yeah.
Are the pressures on some Chicago-based business to set him up for life? Now, the difference is he threw the 20th no-hitter in White Sox history, which is the second most of all time.
Sure, it'll have something to do with Italian beef or Italian sausage for life from Al's. It'll be something. You're right. This is the pressure's on him now.
Speaking of Chicago pitchers, did you see Kyle Hendricks' first inning yesterday
for
the Cubs?
No.
He gave up 4 home runs in the first inning of that game
did
against
he really?
Atlanta. Only the 9th pitcher ever to do it. You remember those other guys, Bick.
Uh-oh.
Derek Holland, Dylan Bundy, Colin McHugh,
Jeff Austin, Jose Lima.
Read the last one for me.
Catfish Hunter! I'm back!
By the way, Gambo was back at Phoenix Suns Arena. First game he's attended in the new arena.
Okay.
He texted me before the game. They lose by 26.
Oh, boy.
People blamed him after the game.
That's funny.
He had nothing to do with it.
No, he did not. Jinxes are not real.
Well.
They're not real.
We'll play this back when you get hit by a bus on the way home.
Don't even joke about that, Jared.
I'm sorry.
Man, that was uncalled
what?
For.
What? They just said jinxes aren't real.
Now we're going to find out for sure if they are. Thanks to Chad Benson for joining us. Thanks to you for hanging out. We'll do it again tomorrow at 10. Burns and Gambo up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Have a great day, everybody.